Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Solari Report. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm joined by a wonderful person I've gotten to know over the last year, although not in person, and that is Pat Miletich. I say it again for me, the name.
Miletich.
Miletich is Croatian. Pat Miletich, who hails from both North Dakota, but you're spending time right now. You're coming to us from Iowa.
Born and raised in Iowa, yeah, but spend most of my time in North Dakota now.
And we're going to talk about soil remediation, which is a topic of great importance economically, great importance to our health, great importance to the future of our people, something that people often scare you into thinking there are no solutions. And Pat's here to tell you that there are solutions. And he and his partners are working on them. Very impressive. And but before we do, I want to dive into your history. I talk a lot, Pat, about how there is a great poison going on in America. And one of the things that is being poisoned is the soil. And of course, the food is then poisoning people as the soil gets poisoned, as the crops get soiled. And so you are going right at the heart of fixing and reversing the great poisoning. And I love what you do. And I love you for doing it. But before we get into what you're doing with soil remediation, we have to talk about how you first got interested in reversing the great poisoning. It was because you discovered you as a young man were poisoned, correct?
Yeah, I mean, my entire childhood, I was basically had a respiratory illness. I couldn't breathe correctly. The way I describe it is, imagine breathing through a straw that's full of mucus. That was my childhood and young adulthood existence. And while I was good at sports, when I would lose, in wrestling matches, I would lose because I was suffocating. And it was very frustrating because I knew I could be better. And as I got ready to turn professional in combat sports, kickboxing originally before the UFC, I decided that I was going to start searching for solutions, that because there had to be solutions. I've always asked why. Why is this happening? What's causing it? That's just the way that I've always thought. And so I started researching and found some substances, organic substances, that I thought would do the job. And lo and behold, 10 days later, after I started my own protocol, I could breathe so well that my endurance was endless. All of a sudden, I could run as fast as I wanted, as long as I wanted. I could just literally do everything that I wanted to. And it was such a freeing feeling from a childhood spent technically suffering, that it allowed me to excel to the point of winning a world title in the UFC. And then using a lot of those same protocols for my athletes, and eventually working with, you know, a lot of military law enforcement and helping them understand why they were having health issues, and just so on and so forth. That was about 38 years ago when I discovered that and fixed that issue. But it was about 28 years ago when I really started digging into the soil and starting to ask questions of, wait a minute, the issues have to be coming from our environment.
So let's just stop for a second, because I really want to emphasize to people, if you go look at your Wikipedia entry, when I first met you and I then went and looked at your Wikipedia entry, I went, oh my word, this guy was like a world-class champion. You had an incredible career. I mean, you really went to the top, right?
Yeah. And again, and that's the thing, is that I try to stress, so it's kind of hard to help people understand, unless you've been in that position as a child, to spend your entire childhood sick and suffering from all kinds of other related illnesses, not just respiratory, that cause some real, you know, that's some trauma that you go through psychologically as well, just not understanding what was going on. And so when I see sick children and I see sick people, there's a huge drive in me, there always has been, to try and assist them in understanding that it's not them, and that the solutions that are being offered are just for the symptoms, which, you know, never, of course, get to the cause, and that it is the environment that is causing, you know, 90% of all human illness, right?
Well, one of the things your story shows is that you can have a sick childhood and then turn it around and go to accomplish something as an athlete, which is, you know, in competitive sports, which is world class and takes incredible physical health and endurance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a complete 180 degree turn.
Sure. Sure. And I try to ask people this is, even people that don't believe it's possible that they've been sick for so many years that they don't think that there's a solution. I ask them, what if you could breathe correctly? What if your digestive system was operating correctly? What if you weren't suffering from severe joint pain and other you know situations with your health? What then would you think about? And what type of impacts would you have on the people around you? And how would you benefit society at that point? So I try to paint a picture for people to understand that just on the other side of their fear and the suppression of that knowledge that there are answers, that there's a whole world of exploration and opportunity for them to then do what they want with their life.
So you were successful in competitive sports, but then you helped lots of others. So you were coaching others. How many of the people you were coaching really needed help turning their health around too, or getting their health to a place where they could compete at a very high level?
I think, you know, there were some really special, unique genetic freaks that I did deal with, of course. But, you know, the vast majority of all of us certainly aren't anywhere near our potential. And that includes many, many athletes. And so they all needed help because of the rigors of the training. So when I expect someone to become a world champion, well, there's a lot of things in front of that I will expect. The levels of endurance, the recovery, what they're going to be putting in their bodies food-wise, you know, all of those different things. And we certainly can't get nutrients from our food that are needed unless we're literally growing it ourselves and know what nutrients and biology to put into the soil where the food's being grown, right? So my athletes and our team were known for just being able to stand on the gas pedal and run everyone out of gas.
Wow.
That's what we were capable of doing that. And we knew, and everyone around the world knew, that if you didn't get one of our athletes early, that once they got rolling, that you were going to be in a lot of trouble. You were going to get behind the eight ball pretty fast. So
where were you getting the food?
You know, back in those days, it was a little easier to find food that was actually grown correctly to a certain extent. Uh-huh. But I've gardened since sixth grade. Like I built gardens. I built, you know, terraced walls in my mother's backyard, planted, you know, I was using dog, I'd clean up the yard of dog crap and I'd put that in the garden. And then I'd put more, you know, I was doing composting and other things, just trying to do it. And that came from my grandmother down in Southern Iowa. There's pictures of me when I'm a tiny little kid with a hoe in my hand, helping her in the garden, stuff like that. So that stuff down to me.
Wow. Okay. So how you're coaching, you're making sure everybody's eating right, you're attending to the power and importance of nutrition, connecting it to the food. How do you then get to your company, Soil Savers? So I want to tell everybody, check out the website while we're talking, soilsavers.org. How did this evolve into Soil Savers?
You know, again, it was about 38 years ago when I figured out my own health issues. And then 28 years ago, I started digging into soil, which was a very long road, and thousands of conversations with farmers, agronomists, scientists, chemists, geneticists, you name it. I have driven all over the country and sat down with PhDs at universities and ag departments, and very few of them even understood what I was talking about, because I was looking at the human body and eventually understanding that the soil is the exact same thing. 90 essential nutrients, proper biology, and nutrients in a truly bioavailable form that have been broken down by microorganisms digesting these minerals. But it wasn't until I met Dr. Will Spencer that the gaps in my understanding, were finally filled in and continue to be filled in. I think he's a national treasure. Steve Moore is also part of this team, who is a guy that's done this for 40 years as well. And Steve has been remediating soil and fixing agriculture operations around the world for, you know, decades. And so it's just by putting our strengths together, in terms, I came from the human health and performance and then got into the soil 28 years ago. Will came from agriculture and into human health. And Steve kind of came from the agriculture side into human health as well. And so we just have joined forces to help educate the masses on, yeah, the real solutions, right? We want to address the causes of the problems in the soil, the causes of the illness in the plants, the crops, the causes of animal problems, the causes of honeybee die-off, and the causes of human illness.
Steve Moore, who is one of the absolute top experts, again, in soil to human expert. And then Doc Will Spencer, who's on the other side, a gentleman from Environautics and MineralKing.life that we, I've been very lucky to find him and then find Steve. So I think what I like to do is I simplify things as much as possible. And right. So what I try to help people understand is the historical references to how agriculture became a chemical dominated business, growing food with chemicals, which are obviously something that, you know, you wouldn't pour a shot glass of any of these chemicals and put them down in front of your child to put in their bodies. But that's exactly basically what ends up happening.
Absolutely.
So in 1971, this is super important for you to understand the style and the implementation of these types of programs and the history. 1971, we get taken off the gold standard by President Nixon. 73, stock market collapse. Farmers are in financial trouble. Experts, quote unquote, experts come out with documentation showing large yields of corn, beans, other wheat, other crops, showing what can be done with these chemicals. And so the farmers who are in financial dire straits say, awesome, I want to become rich, and that's what I'm going to do. And so the Green Revolution starts. And the beginning, well, not the beginning, but certainly revving up the destruction of certainly North Americans' health, Americans and Canadians' health, is in high gear at that point. You want to elaborate on some of that?
It is the beginning of the end of what we have today with severe degradation. I mean, Dr. Joel Wallach has been saying it for decades that 80% of the illnesses would go away if we would just correct the soils. 80%. Of our metabolic illnesses that we have today are because of deficiencies of some kind or another.
Yeah, and so the best way to look at it is one thing that I've observed over 38 years is essentially healing the soil or crops or helping honeybees or cattle or humans is really all basically the same formula.
Yes, in the sense that you want the biodiversity. And just because somebody says they have a farmland and they're growing crop doesn't mean it's actually adequately balanced nutrient wise, biologically wise, or the physics of the quantum energy fields that it takes to really grow sustainable food. And it's depleted so bad from the aflatoxins that are generated from all the glyphosate and the different chemicals that are disrupting the biology in the soil, which isn't allowing any nutrients, if there was any, to even move because they've killed the biology. Subsequently, the cost of all these nutrients that we could use or minerals that are mined that we could be using should be to bring back this energy, life energy in the soil.
So tell us what Soil Savers does.
Well, it's a unique combination of very high grade, very potentized nutrients, the 90 essential nutrients in total from different sources around the world, very, very rich deposits that are vast, mind you, as well as a unique combination of microorganisms, over 1,000 of them, that work together in unison and will express themselves uniquely depending on the soil conditions, what toxins are there, and what nutrients need to be broken down into bioavailable form And when you put the proper population of microorganisms into the soil, they will balance themselves out. A lot of human tendency is, well, I only want to work with 12 specific microorganisms in my compost pile. Well, that's going against nature. That's manipulation. That is, we want to put a diverse population into the soil and let them balance themselves out as they see fit, because that's their job, to create a pristine environment. Mm-hmm. That's what they were created. That's what they were created for. So we have to take our hands off. Once we put it in, we take our hands off. And there might be some testing where, oh, we need a little bit more of this nutrient or this nutrient, things like that. But for the most part, nature will take care of things.
So my simple mind thinks of this as probiotic for the land.
Yes.
Is that, yeah. That's,
yes, nutrients. And so if we put down a ton of nutrients on soil, if there's no biology to convert it into bioavailability, or, you know, to digest the, for instance, when metals work their way out of the core of the earth into the soil, well, they have to be converted into bioavailable forms, carbon bonded, colloid mineral form. Well, the only thing that does that in the world are proper microorganisms through their digestive processes. So very, very important. And if there's not enough nutrients, but a lot of biology, well, there's going to be lack as well. So there has to be balance between the two for everything to work correctly, I guess is the best way to look at it.
Okay, so soil savers. So explain how you're going to relate to a farmer who wants to improve his soil.
You know, there's a lot of different parts of that conversation. What does he really truly want? Farmers in the agriculture industry, and we understand that the industry is the industry. We know that farmers, to go to a bank to get loan for seeds and inputs, has to follow the SOPs of a big ag corporation, right? Because if they don't, then they can't get insurance, crop insurance, bankruptcy insurance, things like that. So we understand that there's some of that. We have worked very hard to get our own data and testing to show yield increases, to show Brix rating increases, to show uniformity and ripening and all of these things. But look, the industry is the industry. We're not here to try and tell farmers that they have to do what we're doing. There's a transition period that farmers have to go through of 3 years before they can be considered organic anyway. And that's a tough gap for a lot of farmers to cover. We understand that. But there are massive numbers of people who are trying to grow gardens, who have orchards, all of these types of things, and smaller farmers who are already organic, that we can improve. We can improve their yield. So even in the regenerative ag world, there's a lot of people, and certainly in, you know, lawn care and gardening and all of that, people will spray weeds or herbs with weed killer, with herbicides. Well, the weeds are actually telling you exactly what nutrients are missing in your soil. They're mm-hmm. the messenger that are saying, well, this particular herb is pulling zinc out of the atmosphere. So when it decomposes, it will put that back into the soil to heal the soil. That's how nature heals the soil and itself.
Right.
And so all herbs have those specific nutrients that they're pulling out of the atmosphere to repair the soil. Well, we just simply say, well, the cause of the weeds is a lack of these nutrients. So when we put those nutrients back into the soil, well, there's no need for the weeds to be there. And so nature will take care of that. You know, it takes a little bit of time, but that's how we address that. We address the cause of the weeds. We don't kill the messenger, right? Things like that.
So tell us how the product works. You spread it on the land?
We have dry spread, and then we have a foliar spray. So the dry spread would be a combination of nutrients from different sources. And then the foliar spray is a combination of nutrients and a collection of, again, of over 1,000 microorganisms, probiotics for the soil. And those probiotics go to work in the soil, like I said, again, depending on toxicity. And then also, you know, those dry spread nutrients are a long-term nutrient plan for the plants that are there, whether it's an orchard or a crop or whatever.
So you find that to get a site to where you want to take it, it takes several years?
No, not necessarily. No, not at all. You know, we've got tests that have come back on forever chemicals where the test was supposed to go for 4 months and it had to be stopped at 2 months for just unforeseen circumstances. But they did test at the 2 month mark and almost all forever chemicals were remediated down to non-detect levels. So
you that's know, remarkable.
Yeah.
And so you're basically saying, you know, you know, it's almost as though nutritious nature can destroy the unhealthy.
100%. Our creator or nature, whatever you believe in, definitely has all the answers to fix this. We have to understand as well, for 50, 60 years, we've had 1 billion acres between lawn care, golf courses, and agriculture, that those microorganisms have been pounded by billions and billions of pounds of, you know, toxic chemicals, which has decimated their populations. They got overwhelmed. I mean, they can't solve everything when they get overwhelmed. And then all of the nutrients have been basically mined out of the soil. So soil now, when I look at especially Midwest soil, agriculture soil, it's merely a medium to hold plants upright. It has no nutritional value left in it. Right. So it's very tragic, actually.
Right, but it can be fixed.
Yes, yeah, it can. And that's the key, is that putting the right nutrients back into the soil. Look, we can't speed up the crust of the earth breaking metals and deposits loose up into the soil, but we can take sources of all these nutrients, all these minerals, and we can spread them on the soil and put the biology down that will break them down in a super fast rate to be able to create, you know, healthy soil again with its own immune function.
Right.
When we see imbalances in bacteria and fungus and things like that, that's merely just toxicity and nutrient deficiencies that are, for lack of a better term, an infection in the soil. And it's the same thing as, you know, when a human gets an infection, that's nutrient deficiencies and toxicities coming to light and showing and manifesting in an imbalance in bacteria or fungal infections, things like that.
So let's look at the economics of this. If you're, whether you're a gardener or a farmer, do you have them test the soil first?
We can do that, but I can tell you that it just across the board in the Midwest, the soil is nutrient void or deficient and toxic. That's
right.
That's just in general. So we're focused on not just like a nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium type mentality and a little bit of calcium. We're looking at 90 essential nutrients that the human body needs.
Right.
Well, and so when I'm training people athletically, teaching a seminar or doing asymmetrical self-defense courses, teaching people about not only physical self-defense, but also, you know, keeping their families healthy and all of these things, mitigating what could be coming, is that it's important for people to understand, where did those 90 essential nutrients we're told we're supposed to have, where's that supposed to come from? It's not supposed to come from a bottle on a supermarket shelf. It's supposed to come from the soil and into the plants and into the animals, whether we're eating the plants or the animals. So that's the transfer
right.
of true vitality in life. That's the way the food chain is supposed to work, right?
So let's say I'm a gardener, I'm a farmer, and I get Soil Savers and I do everything you advise. What is the economics in terms of my result? I spend money to do the treatment, but then my yield improves.
We have seen, I've even had friends that got yelled at by their wives because the garden got too big. The cucumber plants growing up the backside of the house, and 10-foot tall tomato plants, 7-foot tall pepper plants that are loaded with, you know, they look like Christmas tree ornaments all over them. You know, they're so
loaded. I used to have a squash plant like that. It went over a 6-foot fence down and then shot 20 feet into the compost pit. It knew where the nutrition was.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, that's the ideal. I mean, just our garden up in North Dakota last spring, I had planted it, and then Doc Will Spencer and I went on the road for about a month, and I got back and the tomato plants, the garden hadn't grown since I left. And I knew what that was. I didn't treat the soil before I left. I expected it to carry over some, my own problem. And also the massive numbers of people who have, you know, who are gardening experts who are saying, wait a minute, my heirloom plants are not growing because of the heavy metals in the environment and, mm-hmm. and running into these
and
problems.
The spray.
Yes,
the spray.
100%, 100%. And so we mixed up a couple horse troughs of, because we have a very large garden, of our foliar spray and treated the garden, and the tomato plants, everything exploded. And we were pulling, I mean, we had, just from one picking at a time, over 1,000 tomatoes from only,
wow,
I think there were 12 to 14 plants, I think, in the garden. We had well over 1,000 tomatoes just from one harvest of tomatoes. We didn't know what to do with all of them. We were canning. We were canning tomatoes forever.
It's a good problem to have.
Sure. Yeah.
So how long has this product been available?
You know, this combination put together this way about a year, but there have been other people in history who have figured this out and have done it. You know, I started listening to and Will, said, you know, he's suffered through hour after hour of Rudolf Steiner lectures, mm-hmm. for instance. You know, people who were on to this knowledge, you know, obviously back in the 1800s, 1700s, they certainly were before the chemical processes came about, decimating everything. But there have been people who were aware of this, who were doing this internationally, though, because of academia in the United States and the education system. Since about the, 1930, 1933, when the education system started changing in America, that one, people just didn't understand it and didn't accept it, that growing food with real nutrients and real biology was the best way to do things. I mean, they started using chemicals many, many decades ago, of course.
Right.
So we educate people that when you put the 90 essential nutrients and the proper biology in the soil, the plants will have their own immune system, proper genetic expression because of the environment, and then proper immune function so that there won't be imbalances in the soil and the bugs are not going to show up to eat your plants because they're not ill. And that's what nature is designed to do.
You find when you heal the soil, you stop needing pesticides?
100%. Yes. I've never used pesticides in gardening, ever, in tomatoes, cucumbers, melons. I've never had bugs eat any of my products. So, right. And that's the thing is, there's a farmer in, and I'll give him a shout out because he is a true innovator as well. Monty Bottens, who lives across the river in Illinois, guy that gave me my first chance to speak at an agriculture gathering. I'm not from the agriculture industry, and I've got all these agronomists listening to me, and I'm going, listen, imagine being an expert in agriculture and listening to some guy that got punched in the head for a living saying, you guys are doing it wrong. So,
well, but I would think they would have huge respect for your accomplishments, wouldn't they?
Well, but that's, you know, that's where, so the education system again is divided: soil health, plant health, bee health, animal health, and human health.
Which is ridiculous because we're all getting poisoned by the same thing.
Right. And separating even the systems within the human body, the nervous system experts, the digestive experts, the, you know, all of these different things. Now, mind you, there's a place for all of that. I'm not saying there isn't, but I'm saying that, as Steve Moore says, that it is the environment that always dictates genetic expression. And when I heard him say that, it just was natural for me to say, which then leads to proper or improper immune function, right? That is literally how it works. So once you realize that the earth is just one big organism, that we're just little microscopic critters crawling around on that giant organism, that we all need the essential nutrients and we all need the proper soil-borne microorganisms or probiotics, that it is. It's one giant organism, and we have to understand that we are one and the same with the soil.
Right. I think, you know, when you and I just started this call, we talked about the fact that many people think that disease is something in them as opposed to something that's happening to them.
Right, right.
And they have to address what's happening to them that's causing the problem. It's not in them. And it's, you know, that revolutionizes the whole it rejects the whole pharmaceutical model.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is, what is the cause? What is the cause? That's the way I've always thought. It's like when I see something happening with inflation, well, what caused the inflation? I mean, it doesn't take that much to figure that out. So, but I stay away from politics completely because this has nothing to do with politics. I don't want anything to do with people's beliefs in their politics, left or right. I have to focus on what makes human beings feel better, operate better, and live better lives, better quality of life. Right. And that's all I care about, really, is, you know, my children's future,
right,
and everybody else's children's future. And so that's really what it comes down to.
But here's what it requires. And I know because I live in a farming community in Tennessee half the year.
Yeah.
So my residence is in Tennessee. We are poisoning ourselves. And there is no solution that doesn't require me stopping poisoning myself. So I've got to face that, and trying to get people to face the fact that we've been poisoning ourselves, I find is really hard to do because they just don't want to face that. It's too scary. It's too horrible.
And the thing is, what the flip side is, that scariness and that fear is prosperity, vitality, and life.
Yes, I agree.
And there is a process that, you know, there's people that get on products, high grade nutrients and things like that, that will go through where they will feel like they're rejecting the nutrients. They don't feel good. And what that is the war taking place in their bodies where the bad stuff is actually dying, the parasites, the molds, the yeasts, things like that. And that you're actually going through a healing crisis, just as when somebody feels sick when they have, quote unquote, the flu. Well, that's your body, of course, shedding the toxins that you've built up over a period of time, right? So, it's a different, you have to flip everything upside down and view it correctly from reality to understand really what we're doing, what we're about.
It's a simple switch. And once you make that switch, it's obvious. But I have to tell you, I drove around thinking about this and looking at what was going on for years before I made it.
Yeah.
It was so simple. And once I made it, it was like, this is obvious. Why didn't I figure this out? I'll never forget my cousin saying to me, I'm in Hickory Valley, Tennessee. And my cousin saying to me, why is everybody dying? They're all dying young. This is in about, I don't know, 2002. And she said, you know, Betty Sue died and she was 44. And, you know, everybody was dying of a different thing. But what I realized when I made the switch was, oh, you get poisoned and then you die of your weakness. And everybody's weakness is different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's that you're nutrient deficient and you're toxic. So when again, your genetic expression is incorrect. Your immune function is not operating correctly. Nature is designed to get rid of you. And that is just a fact. So if we go towards allopathic symptom treatments and putting more synthetic chemicals in our body, that's why we have side effects that they have to treat with more and different prescriptions.
Right.
And so that's your body. A side effect is your body telling you that you've been injured.
Right.
That's just make no bones about it. We're going after the cause, while it might be a little more labor intensive up front, is a really beautiful thing on the other side, the backside of that.
So I just did an interview with Mark Skidmore, who is a professor at Michigan State University. And he worked with me on my work about money disappearing from the federal government. But he's an expert in budgets, and he was looking at state budgets and federal budgets. And right now, our military expenses is about $850 billion, and our HHS, the HHS budget is $1.8 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the explosion of sick people and chronically yes. sick people.
Right.
And Toby Rogers has done a lot of work on how this number is going to grow fantastically in the future for a variety of reasons. Anyway, but Skidmore did an analysis and calculated that if we could go back to 2010 levels of disability, we would drop that budget a half a trillion a year.
Sure. Yeah.
So what you're talking about is something, because what I first got into this, Pat, because I was an investment advisor, and what I was discovering was healthcare malpractice and fraud was bankrupting families.
Yeah.
And you know, so I came from the money side, and I'm looking at the money, and I would literally have families say, I can't afford to buy local, I can't afford to buy organic food. I was like, are you crazy? You're going bankrupt from being sick. Yeah, of course, yeah. You know, so I was trying to get them to integrate all of this. And it's very important to understand that what you're talking about is it's not just people living a vital life and being healthier, but you're also talking about, you know, doing it in a way where the economy can work, because people can work. They can think.
Yes.
They're happy. What you went from being, you know, not happy to being a world champion.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so the physical, mental, spiritual, psychological, emotional, it's really all one realm, and that we have to understand those layers. And so, you know, I can look at a corporation and look at their healthcare costs, their prescription costs, their doctor visits, things like that, sick days, not productive employees, all of those things. And I can show them a CEO and a CFO. I can show them how I can come in if they help me, if they assist me a little bit in financially incentivizing their employees using a health protocol of supplementation and just making minor changes in what they eat. That's all I'm asking, that they will save so much money on the bottom line for their corporation. They'll be the CEO and CFO for the rest of their lives. They're not going to get replaced, and they will get shares of the company because of those options of making the company more profitable and affecting the bottom line positively, that they themselves will individually become much more wealthy.
Right.
And that's what this is about. And so the productivity of a nation, look, this is a national security crisis and has been since the 90s minimum.
I couldn't agree more.
You know, we were well aware of this, you know, back then. So look, it comes down to if there's any CFOs out there and CEOs that want help with that, they can certainly reach out and we can take them through that process of helping to educate.
You'll work with a farmer, you'll work with a company. Will you work with a gardener?
Of course, yeah. I just had some ladies, some friends of mine, one who's got property down south and one who's got property up in New Jersey. And the one who they're I think really good friends, obviously. One was buying the 5-acre box for her friend that has a beautiful garden up in New Jersey and sending it to her. So communicating with both, I'll help them. Now we're growing really fast. So There's instructions in the box and the instructions are going to be on the website on how to do everything. But yeah, I love talking to people. I absolutely love it.
So I want to talk about PFAS.
Perfluoroalkyl and polyfluoroalkyl substances, or PFAS compounds, are man-made carbon and fluorine-based chemicals. PFAS compounds are incredibly resistant to breaking down. Since the early 1940s, PFAS has been used in various consumer and industrial products, including protective coatings, waterproof fabrics, and firefighting foam. Their resistance to heat, oil, and water is what makes them so useful. There are hundreds of known compounds, each with varying uses in our daily lives. PFAS compounds don't occur in nature, and it takes a significantly longer time for these compounds to break down in the environment and in the human body. The CDC's Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry says PFAS contamination has the potential to affect growth, learning, and behavior of infants and older children. It could lower a woman's chance of getting pregnant, and it could increase the risk of cancer. In February 2019, the Environmental Protection Agency released its PFAS action plan, which includes guidelines for PFAS contamination testing. In Alaska, the Department of Environmental Conservation started to test drinking water for 5 PFAS compounds in 2018. That was reduced to just 2 compounds in April, before a recent memorandum by the DEC announced that the state would now test for all 18 compounds recommended by the EPA. Scientists are still learning about how PFAS exposure affects human health, but regulations to reduce their use and testing water for contamination is the first step toward understanding how to combat what are known as forever chemicals.
I know almost nothing about PFAS other than as we have an investment screen company. And I've had occasion to look at companies who really got themselves in trouble over PFAS.
Sure.
I mean, big trouble.
Yeah.
And then you read about all this land that the EPA is regulating and, you know, and there's a national drama on PFAS that has gotten to be very big money.
Mm-hmm.
And so my understanding is you think this can really heal land that's been harmed by PFAS.
Well, number one, we've got 70 to 100 million acres that have been negatively affected by what are categorized as forever chemicals.
So why don't you describe what those are just for the listener, because they don't.
Persistent molecular structures of chemicals, synthesized substances that don't break down easily. We'll just say that. Now,
right.
Look, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, nitrogen, the NPK fertilizers, the quote unquote forever chemicals, they're all combining for a horrible nightmare that we're dealing with right now in a billion acres of American soil. But we have specifically 70 to 100 million acres that have been negatively affected. Everything from they can't grow food or it's toxic, or cows are falling over dead, horses are falling over dead, to making the population sick as well. So yes, there are solutions. We have proof, we have data, all of that, that those can be broken down in a matter of months, not years, and that the soil can be brought back to a status of creating vitality, life, and health in whatever grows out of it. So that's the important thing is that, yes, there's solutions. So it doesn't matter if it's glyphosate, it doesn't matter if it's a herbicide, if it's categorized as a forever chemical, a heavy metal, you know, that's what certain microorganisms were designed to do, was to create a pristine environment. And so that's, mm-hmm. And the education in our universities and a lot of these other places, you know, a lot of people get paid a lot of money to go out and test to find the problems.
Right.
But there's not a lot of money in and no education really very, very much or very little on how to solve it, right? It's all about finding the problems. And they get massive amounts of grant money to find the problems and are oblivious to the solutions because they've never looked. It's just a limiting belief system that has been handed down through generations that I'm lucky that I decided to look for answers myself when I was 19, 20 years old. And that led me down a path that I didn't ask for. I didn't ask to be in this position. Now, being sick my entire childhood drives me to want to help people solve their problems for their children and themselves.
Right.
And for the future. That's all this is. And I can't turn that switch off. Unfortunately, I can't turn it off even when I'm trying to go to sleep sometimes, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a passion. It's a destiny.
Yeah.
It's a destiny. So we're coming into a period where we're facing the potential for a lot of change in ownership and land.
Yes.
And we have a group of people who want to centralize control. If land has been harmed, then there and it can't be used productively, there's more pressure to transfer it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can heal it, then a farmer can continue to make it productive. He can continue to own the land.
Yes.
So understanding this technology and the fact that it exists and it's available it's very important to get that message out and about.
Yeah. And the strategic thought processes, you know, when I was younger, listening to speeches by General MacArthur or, you know, Schwarzkopf or any of these types of people, and they had to think in not only logical warfare tactics, but also deceptive. They had to be deceptive in their delivery, you know, fake invasions, you know, all those different things, you know, what's up my sleeve type stuff. This comes down to, we understand in what, 1996, you would probably know better than I, that the Agenda 21 documents were signed in Rio, I believe it was, yeah, somewhere around 96. And part of those documents, it talks about when land and water become too toxic for inhabitation, that humans can be moved. And so we're dealing again with a billion acres of American soil that by anyone's standards are absolutely toxic. And so at what point, and we see the ramping up in the media, I just saw an article yesterday, South Carolina, 10,000 acres should be deemed a Superfund site, the first agriculture site to be deemed a Superfund site. And we've watched farmland in Oregon, Wisconsin.
Oh, so Maine, it's a way of taking farmland offline.
This is when I'm a strategic thinker, in terms of if there's people out there with nefarious reasons and goals that want to take land, well, that would seem like the most logical reason. When I look back at the 96 documents that were signed in Rio, right? So water is already being deemed toxic. The water that comes out of the Mississippi River right here in Iowa, when you look at the chemical reports on that, most of the chemicals that all cause cancer are above 400 times the allowable limits. And yet you know, you've got a 500,000 people in the Quad City area who are drinking that water out of their taps. So really, technically, if they ramped up the media, which they're not going to do super quick, it's a slow bleed of information to ramp up fear, that at what point are large numbers of people going to have to move out of regions and areas of the United States? It's happening right in front of us. And to not acknowledge that, I think is stuffing our head in a hole and ignoring.
But I also have to say, if you healed the land, you wouldn't need all those pesticides. You wouldn't be dumping all that stuff. And if you look at the chemicals that come down the Mississippi, it's frightening.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. And
it's frightening.
Yeah. And so, yes, we can fix the land. We need people. We need that soil savior army to grow expeditiously and exponentially, and it is growing. I mean, we haven't even gotten on site or put our site up yet, and people are knocking down the door already to order, you know, boxes and things like that. So that's great. It's people are eager and they want answers, and they've told us. They've specifically told us what's causing our illness from the environment, and now we've got the data to prove that we can solve that problem. And that's really what it comes down to.
So one of the things I'm excited was I decided I would get you to do this interview because Weston Price, who's one of our great allies, is going to publish an article about your work. And they have a wonderful local network, as do we. And that's why we have to get this out on the network.
Yeah.
So because it's the people who work the land, who love the land, and I call them the foodies.
Right. Yeah. And you know, there's going to be people that are not going to listen, and that's okay. That's okay. But there's a lot of people that are paying attention now, and that I'm very thankful for people like you and the folks over at the Weston Price Foundation and others who are really starting to circle the wagons for humanity's sake. And that's what's important. And again, none of this is possible without Dr. Will Spencer and Steve Moore and their decades of research that have gone into all of this. I was just lucky enough to discover a substance that is so unique to be able to add to this whole program that you know, and maybe my desire to communicate with people about what we're capable of as a team.
Well, you know, I hate to admit this, but when I was first introduced to you and somebody said, oh, he was a UFC champion, that's like the magic word, right? I don't know why, but there's some, where I come from, there are some of the most admired people in the world.
Well, it just comes down to this, is that I would say this, that in athletic performance, that in basketball, it's okay to lose a game because you get tired, or, you know, not be able to take first place in track because you got tired. But when you get tired in a fight inside of a cage with with a world-class athlete, you end up in the hospital. And so our endurance, our recovery, proper operation of the biological organism that is a man, a human being ourselves, is so important that your very health relies on it. And so we have gone through years and years of a lot of research to try and figure out what makes the human body tick the best. And there's no jobs out there, you know, that put those taxing situations on people, unless you get to law enforcement, military, of course, and some of those things where people's lives are really, truly on the line every day, you know?
Right. So you mentioned that you've been working with police enforcement.
Yeah, I trained, I started out with defensive tactics with law enforcement. A good friend of mine from the Davenport Police Department, Mark Hansen, introduced me and got me involved with the Davenport, Iowa Police Department, doing defensive tactics, and then worked our way up, went in the National Guard, and then, you know, military units, and then special forces and some tier one operating teams out there.
So don't the police forces have a tremendous incentive to make sure their policemen are getting the right food?
They do. They do. But, you know, the job is very, I mean, the stress related to being a law enforcement officer, especially today, has to be
immense.
And so, you know, cortisol levels and all the, you know, the readiness of food and what does the food have in it and the quick. And, you know, we see them many times fall apart physically and mentally, emotionally, more than the average citizen, of course, because of the stress of the job. And then, you know, the military and the military veterans, certainly, we see huge impacts, negative impacts from the environments that they've had to deal with, the trauma and other things that they've had to deal with physically and see emotionally, psychologically, that those people deserve better care and real nutrients. And again, real biology, clean their bodies out of all the toxins and help them operate correctly and work through. Because if you're a sick organism physically, that's going to affect you mentally, which affects you spiritually and, you know, emotionally. So it's very tough to heal all the way through of all those layers if you're so ill that your anxiety and depression just are off the charts, which I've had to deal with in my life as well.
Right. Well, so your website is soilsavers.org. Is there any other way we can find you other than the website?
People can find me at Soil Savior with the number one behind it on Instagram. And PJ Miletich as well on Facebook. But, you know, when COVID ramped up and pre-COVID, I was already getting canceled on social media, having accounts throttled back and a lot of other things. Because unfortunately, and fortunately for me, I guess it's a double-edged sword. 10 years before COVID, I wrote a book that I'd never, frustratingly, never had published, called Operation Green Tip, that used tier one operators, the banking history, and time travel to correct a financial implosion that also included nanotechnology vaccines at the time.
Wow.
Then about 18
Operation Green Tip?
Yeah, that's what I named it.
How do we get our hands on this?
I never had it published. But I would love to, because I had, you know, the tier one operators going back in time and correcting situations that were taking place in the financial institutions, the central banking, you know, all of that stuff. Because I thought that was 30 some years ago, whatever it was. I read G. Edward Griffin's book, Creature from Jekyll Island.
Uh-huh.
And I said, every senior in high school needs to read this book so that we're not going to end up, well, where we are today. And I thought the only way to get that out to people would be to turn it into a creative fictional story and educate people with a lot of explosions and car wrecks and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Uh-huh.
To educate people about banking history and where we were headed, right? And
right.
also throwing in the, of course, the mandatory nanotechnology vaccines was part of that. But 18 months out from, in 2018, halfway through, is when I realized that it was going to be spring of 2020 when all the chaos was going to start. And so I started talking about that on my podcast. And, well, you know, it didn't benefit me, you know, it didn't benefit me financially. Let's put it that way. So.
Well, I don't know. You know, one of the reasons I think everybody loves the UFC is they do have a history of protecting the First Amendment, speaking their mind.
Sure, sure. Yeah, they do. And even, you know, when Dana White detests what somebody says, you know, they allow them to still compete. And, you know, hats off to them for that.
Every year we induct somebody into the UFC Hall of Fame. And this next guy, at the time when we bought the UFC, he had pretty much every champion. He was a champion himself. Then Matt Hughes became the champion. He came out of his camp. Tim Sylvia was the heavyweight champion. Jens Pulver was the first lightweight champion when he fought BJ Penn. And the list goes on and on of talent that came out of the Pat Miletich camp. This guy has been a legend in the sport for a very long time. He's worked with tons of other organizations. You probably see him on lots of different shows as either a commentator. I know he worked with Showtime. He works with Access TV, and he did lion fights this week. He is one of the nicest guys in the world. He has built one of the, you know, he's one of the guys who helped build the foundation for mixed martial arts, created tons of world champions, tons of talented guys. Robbie Lawler came out of his camp. I mean, I could go on for days. You guys know better than I do. You're all fans. You know who he's created and what he's done. Ladies and gentlemen, the next Hall of Famer, Mr. Pat Miletich.
Your chest, you could be the hero, you could get the gold, breaking all the records they thought never could be broke.
Miletich came out, showed everyone the kind of talent he has.
Miletich, is he the all-time best at his weight?
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Pat Miletich.
Am I supposed to say something? Say whatever you want.
Okay. Hey, thank you all for being here. I appreciate it. And very humbled by the way Dana's handled this whole thing. It's very impressive. And, you know, there was a time in this sport and a lot of people remember who've been around for a lot of years that this sport had one foot in the grave and another on a banana peel. We were in trouble. And so you've got to give credit where credit is due. Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta and Dana White saved the sport. And none of us would be here had it not been for you guys. And so we truly appreciate that. And also, I think we all need to thank the Gracie family also, because they were the ones that brought the sport back. So, anyway, I'm not going to keep you. We had a very blessed life, great family, great friends, and I'm very thankful, very honored to be here. Appreciate it.
Okay, well, Pat, it's been a delight knowing you. It's been a delight talking with you today, and I hope we're going to be in cahoots. Do you ever go to any of the Rogue Food conferences?
Which conferences? I'm sorry.
John Moody and Joel Salatin put on a Rogue Food conference. Have you ever been?
I've not been to one yet. No. We're looking that we're probably going to be starting the Soil Savior tour here pretty soon and do a lot of meetings and broadcasts and things like
that. Get out on the road.
We're pretty excited about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your work. We really appreciate it. I believe there's nothing more important than turning around the soil and turning around the great poisoning. And I think this is right at the heart of an incredible opportunity. Now, once people realize, look, we can't wait for the existing institutions to turn up and save us. We've got to save ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and then entrepreneurs get busy and get to work and the solutions are there. And this is a perfect example. Yeah. We can fix this. We don't need to wait for anybody else. Let's just do it.
Yeah. Fix the environment and we will fix the human organism.
Exactly. Okay. Well, thank you and give my best to Will. Thank him. I haven't met Steve, but thank him too.
Okay.
And
thank you, Kathy.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the Solaria Report. You have a great day. Thank you.